precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Mary Lynn, you want to shut that door back there just a little bit? It shines light in my face. Can't see what I'm doing. There we go. Somehow or another, that sun comes right straight through there.
What chapter in the Bible are we at?
We're going to be in 1 Timothy. That's where we're going to be in just a few moments. We're going to be in 1 Timothy. And we're on page number 22 in the syllabus. Like I said, I'm going to try to get more of these for you. I had a great opportunity to reach people yesterday. I was doing a book signing out of what's the name of that? Russo's Books. But what's the name of the place?
It's called
the Marketplace. And so I got to I sold quite a few books, the Indian book that I wrote, and I gave them out cards and told them to go to the website and also where I taught Sunday school. So hopefully some of them will come here into the classes. And that is a real spiritual book, that book that I wrote on the Indian culture. And it has led a lot of people to the Lord, and a lot of people, the Indian people is what I wrote it for, to give them a foundation, because they are just so dysfunctional in their lives. Anyway, pray for that. And we're talking about the temptation and fall of man. I'm going to try to speed up just a little bit. I know some of you have just come into the classes, and I know you're enjoying this, but we're going to try to move along just a little bit faster. We've talked about the creation of man, the creation of the heavens and the earth, the fall of Satan, and the replacement of Satan. Who took Lucifer's place as administrator of the physical kingdom of God?
Adam.
All right. So now we have Adam on the earth. We have him in the garden. And the garden was what? The garden, what was it? Who made the garden?
God
did. All right. What was the garden? Comes from the word Perez. What? A guarded pleasure park. A paradise. That was the first paradise, the paradise that was lost. Okay? The Garden of Eden was the paradise that was lost. Now, there was three points of temptation. And I'm going to tell you something today. If you're tempted, you're tempted on these three points today. Same way. The temptation points have not changed. All right? It's the lust of the flesh. Number five lists three parts of the temptation. The lust of the flesh. And how was she? Do you remember, Brother Wally, how she was tempted? How was she tempted?
She is looking at the fruit.
And it looked what?
Looked good, pleasant.
Good. Good for food. What is food feeding? Some people live to eat, don't they? And some people eat to live. There's a difference, isn't there? Some people live to eat, and other people eat to live. And there's a lot of difference in that. It was good for food. The lust of the flesh. All right? It was pleasant to the eyes. What's that? The lust of the eyes. All right? Now, is this the same problems that we have today? All right. Now, what was that? What was the other one? Number C. Desire to make one wise.
Proud.
What?
Proud.
Pride.
Pride.
So we have the lust of the flesh, we have the lust of the eyes, and pride. What caused Lucifer to fall?
Pride.
Pride.
Was a big problem.
All right. That was his. As far as I can tell, that was his problem. It was pride. That was it. All right, now number six. Was Adam deceived in the transgression? Was Adam deceived in the transgression?
No.
What?
Well, he did it deliberately.
Yes, he did. Now, where can you prove that from Scripture?
Well,
1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2. All right, you can go back in the book of Genesis. Let's go to the New Testament. Paul was talking about it. And he's talking to Timothy here, one of his his children in the spirit, one of his spiritual children. And 1 Timothy 2:14. 1 Timothy 2:14. Let's go there and look at it. Who's got 1 Timothy 2:14? Well, John?
Yes, sir.
All right.
It says, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman...
Hold on right there. Adam was not deceived. Is that a flat statement in the Bible? Do you accept that, Brother Wally?
Well, that's what I said.
That's right. Well, but sometimes we say things and we don't back it up by the Word of God. Sometimes the Scriptures infer something, don't they? All right, now this is a flat statement. Was Adam deceived in the transgression? The answer is what? No. All right? Prove your answer by Scripture. All right, 1 Timothy 2:14. Write that down, 1 Timothy 2:14. Now, Brother John, Adam was not deceived.
I lost.
Oh, you did. Well, you can get back there. 1 Timothy 2:14.
It's not the easiest place to find.
It's one of those smaller books, isn't it?
It is.
2:14.
And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression.
All right. What did she do? What did the woman do? Now, what real transgression did the woman do? What was the really way that she transgressed?
She talked Adam into it.
What, Bill?
The way I see it.
What?
She talked Adam into it. She worked her wily ways on him.
She worked her wily ways on him. All right. Is that right? Is that correct?
No, I think that he did it out of sympathy for the woman.
That's right. Why? Because he loved her, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He loved that. That was his other half, wasn't it? She was. She was his other half. She was, God made man. And remember now how God made man. He made man as the dust of the ground, not from dirt, but as he made the dust. Man is the primary creation of God. And then he breathed into Adam the breathings of lives. We know that. Here's Adam, became a living soul now. Adam's there. He becomes a living soul. And then Adam walked out and he named all of the animals. And why were the animals created originally? Why were all the animals created? Huh?
Fellowship for man.
Fellowship for mankind. They were companions. That's why they were created. They were his food. They were his companions. But it said what? There was not a companion found what? Suitable for him. So what did God do? Now tell me exactly what God did from the original language. What did God do to Adam? You remember that? What did he do to Adam? What was the term?
Hypnotized.
He hypnotized him. That's exactly the term. He hypnotized Adam. Now, men have been fooling around with this, psychologists and different people have been fooling around with hypnotism, but God hypnotized Adam. He put him into a deep sleep. All right? And what did he do to Adam after he put him in a deep sleep? What did he do with him? What happened to Adam?
Adam had an operation for the glory of the Lord.
All right. He had an operation. Here's the first operation performed. Who was the doctor? The Lord. Now, I know that for hundreds of years that the Bible, since the King James Version of the Bible, it has been translated that God took a rib from Adam and made he woman. All right? But that's not really what it says, is it? It says that he took from his what? Sides. And made. And from his sides, literally in Hebrew, he said, out of man, ish, he took woman. And this is beautiful. He took woman out of man, isha, and he fashioned woman. And then what did it say? God separated them, and she was a living being. And what was What was this woman's name?
Eve.
No, her name was Eve later.
Ishah.
Out of man, that's what it was. Woman was her first name. Woman, that was her first title. Woman. Out of man. Because he said she is what? Flesh of my flesh and bone of my blood, bone of my bone and blood of my blood. So that's close relationship, isn't it? So, the woman talked the man into sinning. He offered it to him. She offered it to him. And do you think that there was a separation there? After she had transgressed, after she had sinned, after she was deceived. All right. Do you think that there was a separation between man and woman then? And what did the man do? He decided to get on the other side of the street to make that transgression. Now, she was deceived. Now, where does sin come into the human race from? The man or the woman?
Yes.
The man. Because he was not deceived. The woman was deceived. And men, I told you this before, Brother Bill, you're still the responsible person in your home.
Yes.
You're not going to get out of it when you come before God. You're the guy that's over your family. Brother Wally, you're it. But Jeff, you're the one. And young men, you are going to be the one. If you have a, if you find a mate in your life, you are the one that is responsible to God to guide your family correctly. You are the one. You're not going to get out of it.
The man should be the spiritual leader of the home.
That's
and
right.
Most often it's the woman.
That's right. Because men are such slobs and jerks. Most of them out in the world. I mean, in Baptist history, if you go back for the last 150 years, you're going to find that there are many women in the home were the spiritual leader. What a bunch of Baptist jerks the men were.
Amen.
They had to teach Sunday school and everything else because their husbands wouldn't take time. I want to tell you something. Back then, there was a lot of what we call farm workers. A lot of farmers. 70 years ago, 60% or 70% of the American people in this country lived on farms. And Brother Wally, you farmed all your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're out there doing repetitious work, going up and down the rows and all this kind of stuff, do you have plenty of time to think?
Sure.
All right. Do you have plenty of time to pray?
Yes, if you want to.
All right. That's right.
God leads you.
That's right. Let's just think about it for a while. Now, some people do some very technical jobs. But if you're out there doing repetitious work where you don't have to think about what you're doing, ditch digging is a good job, people, for thinking and praying and studying. Now, I've told you so many times there's a time element in learning, haven't I? Over and over again, there's a time element in learning. But how do you attain truths? In Matthew, the 13th chapter, what does it say? Matthew, that's the parabolic chapter of Matthew 13. Let's go over there and look for just a couple of moments. Because here's where we are. We're talking about studying. Matthew, Katamathion, the book of Matthew. That's the first book in the New Testament. The 13th chapter. I like to throw something a little extra at you every now and then. It says in verse 3, well, actually go back 13 and verse 1, and we're going to kind of skip around in the chapter. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. The sea of what?
Galilee.
And the great multitudes gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole multitude was standing on the beach. Now, he was preaching from a boat. All right? And if you get out in a boat, guess what you can hear out across the water? The water is like an amplifier. You can hear, when I've been out in the ocean, the boat, somebody can be over there half a mile away and you can hear their conversations. Now here, we have the Creator of the universe, this is just a little extra here today, using what He created as an amphitheater.
that he needed.
Not that he needed it, but he used his creation. All right? And he spoke many things to them in parables. Parables. What does the word parable come from, these Greek students? Parable. Parable. In the Old Testament, Brother Lee Kustra over there, Brother Lee, you've been in my classes for a long, long time. We talk about a lot of things. Now, in the Old Testament, did the rabbis teach in parables? Many times. This is a very common way of teaching. But Jesus was using the parables for a total different purpose than the rabbis did, because the Old Testament prophesied that the Messiah would, that God, by the might of God, God would teach in parables. All right? He taught them in parables. Now, what does parables mean? It's an illustration, but what does the word parable mean? All right? It comes from two Greek words, para and balo. We get our word balo. In English, we get a word. That word. What is that? Ball. What do you do with a ball?
Throw it.
All right? So what we have is the word parable, and it means beside to throw. That's what it means, beside to throw. Or to throw beside. It means to throw a spiritual truth beside a physical truth. In the Old Testament, the rabbis would do that so they would understand, and you could illustrate. I try to illustrate my messages and use illustrations to so you can understand them. But Jesus didn't do that. Why did he speak in parable?
Well, they wouldn't understand.
So they would not understand. Think about that for a minute. So they wouldn't understand. Isn't that weird? So they wouldn't understand. He spoke in parables to keep them from understanding. Why? Why did he speak in parables to keep them from understanding? Because they were not worthy of the truth. They were not worthy. Why weren't they worthy of the truth? Because they had already rejected what truth he gave them. Now let's look at something just a little bit. Now by Matthew the 13th chapter, what had Jesus done? What had he done? We're bouncing back in here just a little bit. We're studying about it. What had Jesus done already by Matthew the 13th chapter? Matthew the 4th chapter, we have him calling out his church. In Matthew chapter 4, he's calling out his ecclesia. All right? They were baptizing people. They were going out. They were preaching. And the church was baptizing people. They were casting out demons. All these things by now. And what was religious Israel doing? What was the organized religion of the day doing? Were they accepting the truth, Brother Lee?
Wasn't the point of the parables to make it clear to his disciples and obscure to the unbelievers?
That's right. It would be clear to the disciples but obscure to the unbelievers, because they had rejected the truth. Now, organized Israel, the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, did they accept Jesus? No. What were they trying to do to him? All along, from the very first time that Jesus ever spoke in the synagogue in Bethlehem, I mean not in Bethlehem, but in Nazareth, what did they want when he stood up and he quoted the scripture and he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing." What did they do? What did that synagogue try to do to Jesus?
Well, they actually didn't. They wanted to kill him.
They wanted to kill him, but he disappeared. They didn't know where he went. He just walked out from among them. They were going to shove him off a cliff and kill him. And stone him that day. So what had they done? In doing that, what had they done? Did Jesus speak any lies to them? Did he speak a great truth when he said, "This day the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing"? Now, were they worthy of that truth? No. They weren't worthy of it. So then he would hide it from them in parables. Instead of explaining, he would hide it to them in parables. And then he spoke to them many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow." Who's the sower, by the way? Who's the sower? Who was the sower that he's talking about? Himself. All right? The sower went forth to sow, and he sowed some, and some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and devoured them. Who are the birds?
Bad guys.
That's the devils. The devil comes and takes it away. Now, where did the birds, later on, where did the birds roost? In a monstrosity called the mustard tree. Mustard tree is not normal. Mustard is a plant, an herb, and it became a tree. False religion grew, didn't it, through the dark ages. And all the devils roosted in the tree. And it says, they came and devoured them. Others fell upon rocky places where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, but they didn't have any foundation. So what happened to them? They withered and died. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell among thorns. And the thorns came and choked them out. Others fell on good soil and yielded a good crop, and some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He that has an ear, let him hear. And what did the Lord say to the seven churches of Asia? He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Over and over again. Because if God's people are worthy. Now, before you can ever learn any new truth, you have to learn one truth. How many of you know what a sidewalk is? Yeah, that's where you walk, isn't it? Well, to get on the pathway, you've got to get on the sidewalk, don't you? And go down and follow the sidewalk. And that's exactly what the word sin means, is to get out of the pathway, to get off the pathway. The stepping stones. Sometimes in my grandfather, step-grandfather, his name was Amadeo Lamucci. If you've ever gone to Luigi's, that was his brother that started Luigi's Restaurant over there in East Bakersfield. And he ran the Universal Hotel. He was born in, I believe, in Sicily, in Italy. And he said when he was a little boy, he went out there and helped put cobblestone roads down. Their roads were made out of cobblestone. And he cracked these stones and put them in there, and they would walk. And he said, I could go down there and step from one of my stones to the other like this and follow my old tracks that I had put down across the streets where he had repaired and put them in there. Stepping stones. Some people have stepping stones in their garden or whatever. If you want to keep the mud off your feet, you follow the stepping stones. If you get out of the way, you got problems. In learning, it's like walking on a pathway on stepping stones. You can't get to that one over there until you step on this one here. Now, before you can ever, you must have a foundation. The first thing you need to do if you're going to learn something from the Word of God is what? The first thing. What is the first message of the Bible to you? You've got to accept the Lord. The calling of the Holy Spirit. And then the next calling is to be baptized and become a member of a New Testament church someplace. Because that's where you're supposed to serve the Lord. In a church. All right? And this is the age we live in, the what age? The church age today. And that's where God is working. All right. Now, before you can... You've got this... You're on this stone, and then you step on that stone. And before you can be worthy of the next truth, you've got to do what? You've got to be faithful in that one. So you go on. You've got to be worthy of it. Each step, you take a step. Now, there's a time element in learning. But before you can ever get very far, you're going to have to be worthy of the next step. Huh? You have to be worthy of it. And how are you worthy of the next step? Because you have to practice the last thing you learned. You have to practice what you know. Knowing it is not enough. You have to live it. Knowing is not, you have to live it. All right, so these are some stepping stones in learning. The word sin comes from a Hebrew word. Now, in the book, the Hebrew word, there's a lot of Hebrew words. Chafah, that means to miss the mark. Chafah, all right. And then there's a word, abah, A-B-A-H, all right. A perversion, to bend, to make crooked. And there's another word, amal, in Hebrew. Amal, A-M-O-L. And that means to, it's a burden. Sin is a burden. And then we have the word iniquity. And that word is Abal, spelled a little bit differently. Abal, A-V-O-L. And that means a lack of integrity, all of these words for sin. And the word transgression, avon, to cross over, and that's like the word hamartia in the New Testament. Now, there was one great Greek Hebrew scholar that made a mistake one time, and it has burdened everybody with that mistake ever since. And they said, when you come to the New Testament, and the word hamartia means to miss the mark. Hamartia does not mean to miss the mark. It means to go out of the pathway. All right? Now, hamartia, the word hamartia comes from a word called amar, or hamar, and it comes from the Greek word rheo, to flow. And the word hamartia means, and it draws a word picture. It draws the word picture of an aqueduct or a canal or a river. The river that got very clogged up, and the banks were broken, and when a river overflows, what usually happens? Destruction. And that's the idea of it. And that's the idea of that word, and it goes in several different languages. So there we kind of correct that word. The Hebrew word is chapa, but there's more than one Hebrew word. And then the Greek word for sin is hamartia, all right, which means to go out of bounds, to break the flow, to cause destruction on the one who does it. Now there's a word parapipto and parapatio also, which means to walk out of the pathway. Para, both of those, one of them means to stumble, parapipto, that means to stumble. And the other one is akin to chatha, which means to go out of the pathway, to walk beside the known path. All right, let's go on a little further. Now to... I don't know what page you're on now. I'm on number 8. What page are you on? Number 8. And I'm on page 21. But are you still on 22? 22. All right. Was the original sin more than the act of eating the fruit of the forbidden tree? Huh? What do you think about it? Was it more than eating the fruit? The sin was more than eating the fruit. Now, in that, there was a real tree. I want you to understand, this is not figurative. There's a real tree in this garden that had the knowledge of good and evil in it. All right? And in that tree, when they took of that fruit, Brother Wally, did they begin dying at that moment?
Yes.
What made them die?
The spirit was broken. I mean, he that sinneth shall surely die.
That's right.
Their body, it kept on yet for a while.
It stayed on. How long did Adam live?
930 years.
But at the end of that 930 years, what was he? Dead. He was dead. All right. Now, let's look at this. Now, is it more than eating the fruit? Eating the fruit was merely an outward expression of what had already happened in their hearts. Because when they went to pick the fruit and to take, when Adam picked that fruit, what happened in his heart already?
He rebelled.
He rebelled against God. And in that rebellion, before he ever touched the fruit, when his hand was going for the fruit, what was going on? The transgression. His what?
He chose his own will opposed to God's will.
He chose his own will instead of God's will. And what was wrong with Lucifer? What happened with him? He did what? His pride, and he chose his own way instead of God's way. Now, I've told you before, God's ways are right. He doesn't try to get you to do anything that's bad for you. You might think you need it. You might think it's happy. You might think that it's, you know, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. But every person is tempted in those same ways. We are not any different than they were. All right, eating the fruit was merely an outward expression of their inward transgression for divine authority and their willful disobedience to God's divine law. Now, what did you write down? Did any of you write anything down? You guys doing your homework? Brother Bill, I mean Brother Mike?
Yeah.
What did you write?
On number 8?
Yeah.
They had a shameful disregard for the divine authority and their willful disobedience
choose divine law.
That's a good one. Shameful disregard. Had anybody else done that? Does Brother Mike know I'm doing his homework? All right. A plus today, brother. A shameful disregard. All right, for divine law. Now, number 9. Why could Adam and Eve sin? Why could they sin? Why could they sin?
God had given them volition.
He had given them volition. And what does volition mean? Freedom of choice. Now, Brother Jeff, I know that you try to raise your children in the right direction because they're here in church today, aren't they? That's good. But can you make any of them be saved? Would you like to be saved for them in your heart sometime? Would you, when they make mistakes, would you like to be able to say, hey, just don't do that. Just don't do that. Because this is going to harm you. We'd like to do that. But each and every one of your children are individually responsible to God because they have a freedom, a free will, a volition. How many of you have children you wish that you could put them in the right direction? Isn't it something? You wish you could be saved for them. You wish you could repent for them. And you try. And the only thing you can do for them is pray for them. I think a couple of Wednesday nights ago. Prayer works, people. It really works. I told you a story about my bad Uncle Bill. That he was a murderer. He was. And his father wanted him to be a preacher. I got a Bible he wrote. He gave a Bible to him the year he was born in 1903. He wrote in there and wrote all kinds of wonderful, lovely, loving words for this boy. And this boy became a... He was bad. That's all I can say. Bad. He finally, when he was about 70-something years old, I went to the hospital where he was, and they thought he was going to die of gangrene. He lost his leg, and he had diabetes from being a wino all his life. I went up there and I preached to him so hard, telling him just like Jonah did to Nineveh that he deserved to die and go to hell. And the guy started crying and wanted to be saved. And I was mad at God when God saved him. I was. I mean it. And I was mad for years because that man didn't deserve to be saved. And then when I got those Bibles, 20 years later probably, at least 20, maybe 25 years later, I wrote his father's words. I read his father's words. And his father said he was praying for him to be saved and to follow the Lord. And he wrote down in there, this would make a good sermon. He wanted that boy to be a preacher. He was a killer. I found one man that he killed. And I know that he killed another man. And he tried to kill one of my friends. Stabbed the knife all the way through him. You know, when you put a knife all the way through somebody, usually they die. But he lived. That old man, 75 years after he had prayed those prayers, that boy was saved. That's a long time. Does God hear prayers? Don't quit praying for your children. Don't quit praying for your friends. Why did God...
Question.
Yes, brother.
Have you ever known anybody that's been prayed for that ended up not being saved?
Yes. That's right. Because why?
Would you say then that your prayer was not answered?
No, they kept it from being answered. The Holy Spirit worked on that old man that night. That wicked old man, when I saw him. The Holy Spirit worked on him. And that old man's prayers were answered. Now, I didn't think they were going to be answered. And when I prayed with him to save him, I was upset. I have never been upset by God saving anybody else. But I was upset then because he'd hurt me so much when I was young in my life. He'd hurt me so much that that man deserved to be in hell. But there we have the grace of God magnified. We have the grace of God magnified.
But he had a choice.
He had a choice. And God saved him. And he did change. I saw change in his life. Number 10. In what way Did Adam and Eve try to atone for their sin on their own? This is kind of funny. How many of you, in what way did they try to atone for their sin? They tried to cover themselves up.
Yeah, the fig leaves, yeah.
Well, just don't get into that yet. We're going there. But Adam and Eve, Marilyn, could you turn that down just a little? Turn that up to 75 if it's at 70 or something because people are freezing. What was Adam clothed with and Eve? They were clothed before. No, what were they clothed with before they sinned? The righteousness, the glory, the Shekinah glory of God. They were clothed with that glory. But when they sinned, they were naked. They became naked, didn't they? And they were undone. They were sinners. What made them naked? Well, the disappearance of the Shekinah, because they didn't have it anymore. That was the protection, too, that would have given them eternal life. And then they looked at each other and they felt guilty. Guilty. And so they went out and got what, Brother Wally?
Fig leaves.
Fig leaves. Now, how many of you know what a fig leaf is? How many of you have been in close proximity to a fig leaf? Brother, have you ever eaten figs, Hernando?
Yeah, we have big old figs.
Had a big fig tree.
I ate one yesterday.
You what?
I ate a fig yesterday.
You ate a fig yesterday. All right. Brother Bill, what are the fig tree leaves like?
About that big around, I was just thinking some of us fat people would take more than some.
Well, wait just a minute. There, I've seen some big fig leaves. Are you, how big were they, Hernando? Oh, about 12 inches or so. There's my fig leaves out there on my fig tree. I've got an old mission fig tree out there. And the fig leaves are pretty good size. But it said they did what to them? They sewed them together. Now, what is the epidermis of a fig leaf like? It almost as bad as stinging nettles. Stinging nettles, they got little nettles on them that sting you. But you know what? Fig leaves, they're rough on your skin. They scratch. Now, when they covered themselves up with these fig leaves, I think they found out that they were very uncomfortable anyway, but they left them on because they were ashamed. That's what false religion does to you too, people. It's a fig leaf religion. It don't work. And then God showed them the right way. All right. Number 12. Why? I'll go back to number 10. They made clothes for themselves out of fig leaves. Number 11, when God asked two questions, where are you? And have you eaten of the tree? Did he know the answer to those questions? Did God know the answer to the questions? Why did God ask Adam, where are you? Where art thou, Adam? That's what it says in King James. Where art thou, Adam? Huh? Isaiah, what do you think? Do you think God knew? Yeah. Well, God is omniscient, isn't he? Doesn't he know everything? Why did he ask Adam that?
To hear what he'd say.
He wanted Adam to know where he was. Now, it says in the book of Genesis that God walked with Adam and fellowshipped, and God was Adam's teacher. But now, as they heard God walking, as they heard Jehovah walking in the garden, Jehovah Elohim, what did they do? They hid themselves. Because they knew that they were undone before God. That they were naked. They were ashamed. Sin makes you ashamed. It ought to make us ashamed today. But a lot of times sin today, people revel in it, don't they? They just try to see how bad they can get. Even the movies that they have out today. There is no shame in it. All right, number 11. When God asked the two questions, where art thou, and have you eaten of the tree, did he know the answer to the questions? That little space should say yes. All right, explain it. God knows the thoughts and actions of all men. Number 12. Why did God use the skins of innocent animals to make clothing for Adam and Eve? Why did God kill an animal? Why? Oh, what did you say? All right. All right. There was bloodshed. When they killed the animals, he didn't get the skins off them without killing them, and they shed their blood. They bled, and they died. What did you say, Brother Mike?
Substitutional innocent blood.
That's right. Did those animals do anything to deserve to die? No. All the animals that have ever been killed as a sacrifice, every one of them was innocent of those people's sins. Now, Jesus, on the cross of Calvary, what terrible sins did Jesus commit? None. Because he was innocent. And every one of those lambs were innocent. How about the turtle doves?
Same thing.
And the turtle dove, I've got some turtle doves in my backyard. Marilyn does. They're not mine. I just take care of them. We've got these turtle doves out in the backyard. We've got two turtle doves. And the least expensive of all sacrifices that anybody in the nation of Israel could do was to bring two turtle doves because they cost less than everything else. All right? To bring these two turtle doves. And one of them typified Jesus and one of them typified us. Did you know that? What did they do in that sacrifice? They took one dove and they pulled its head off. And they had a basin of water and they would have running water. It had to be running water from a stream or an artesian well. It could not be a cistern water. It could not be water kept in a tank someplace. They had cisterns back then. And that was tanks like we have today. It had to be running water. That was living water. Okay? And they would take this living water or running water and put it in this bowl. And they would take and they would drain the blood from that dove in that bowl. So there was water and blood in the bowl. And then what would they do with the other dove? They would take that dove, and it was alive. And they would dip it in that blood in that bowl with blood and water, and dip it like this, and then they would turn it loose, and it would fly away. And what did that typify? Something died for us so we can fly away. So we can go be with the Lord. Isn't that something? Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful, beautiful. Well, God showed them, number 12, that the shedding of innocent blood was a picture of Christ who would die innocently for the sins of the whole world. There were two goats killed. One goat was sacrificed and one goat was set free. That's what we call the scapegoat. Number 13, what curse was placed upon the Nahash? Who's Nahash? All right. What does the word Nahash? That's a Hebrew word, isn't it? Nahash. What does that word Nahash mean? You remember, Brother Mike? Anybody remember? Brother Bill? Nahash. Well, it's a snake, all right. But what does the name Nahash mean? What does it mean in a Hebrew dictionary? What?
Deceiver?
It means, yes, it means deceiver. The deceiving one. That's what the snake is. The deceiving one. All right? God, or that snake, allowed Lucifer to come into him and deceive that, and use his body to deceive that woman. And so God cursed that snake, and it says, upon your belly you shall walk all the days of your life, and dust you will eat with your food. And snakes are still eating just like that today. All right. Number 14. What curse did God place upon the woman? What curse did God place upon the woman? Women?
Pain and childbearing.
Huh?
Pain and childbearing.
What else? He will multiply their childbearing. I want to ask you this now. You people that have been in my class for a long time, I want you to be quiet now. All right. How many children can a woman have? How many children can a woman have? Theoretically. How many children can a woman have? How many children is a woman capable of having?
9 months.
How many? In a woman's body, how?
100?
Huh?
100?
No, more.
She's not 900 something years.
How many eggs?
A woman, every woman today is capable of having 1,000 children. That's it. There's about 1,000 eggs in a woman. Now let's look and see, how long did Adam live?
930 years.
All right. Almost 1,000 years. So how many children did Eve have? She probably had close to 1,000 children.
That she was freaky.
Brother Bill, children are blessing. Unless they're all girls, huh? Over here, in the millennium, look at the millennium. God doesn't use something and just bounce it out of the sky. How long is the millennium? It's Chelia. Millennium's 1,000 years. How many... And here we have in the millennium, we have unsaved... Well, we have people that are going in their bodies in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. How many of the Gentiles are going to go in there? Mathematically, how many? What portion of the Gentiles are going to go into the millennium that are left upon the earth?
One third?
One-sixth. One-sixth. Five-sixths are going to be killed. Five-sixths of the population is going to be killed on the earth. But one-sixth of them are going into the millennium. And those women are going to be having lots of kids over there. We're going right back the way it was way over here. They're capable of having all these, and the earth is going to be repopulated again for that 1,000 years. Now just think about it. How many people do you think it was by the time Adam died? How many children were there on earth?
Probably about 2 billion.
A lot of them. There's a lot of people on the earth. Okay? Way back then. A woman can have 1,000 children. And what was the curse on a woman? Not having 1,000 children. It was a big curse. That she would have multiple births and the twins. How many of you are twins? All right. There we go. Twins. They had, Eve probably had a lot of children, and they were multiple births. And guess what? She was hurting when she had these kids. If any of you women ever had kids, you know that it's not a vacation. It's hard. And then her husband was what? What else? This is the, a lot of people don't look at it like this, but I'm going to tell you what it says in the language. Her husband will rule over her, but she, what it says is she'll run after her husband. I know. Just think of it for a while. We get this all mixed up. You know, the man has looked like the aggressive person in as far as finding the mate all the time. But in all reality, what does the word say? The woman shall run after her husband. She will go after him. And if any of you, in all reality now, in many places, who did who was the most aggressive in the dating? Because that woman wanted a mate. Women want a mate. Am I right? Is the Lord right? That's right. Well, that's so many years I said that, but look at it and see what it is. Number 15. What curse was placed upon man? All right. What curse was placed upon man? And this is the one that man's still trying to get out of. Work. That's a dirty word to the most of the world. A dirty word. Work. But work's good for you. Did Adam have work to do in the garden, Brother Wally? Did he have anything to do before he sinned?
Yeah.
What was he supposed to do?
Take care of the garden.
Take care of the garden. Do you think it took some caring?
Sure.
All right. Now, there wasn't any weeds. Now, how about if you didn't have to have Roundup on the farm?
Well, just prune the vines.
Prune the vines. But, I mean, he pruned the vines. And he trained the vines. And what else was he supposed to do? Guard it. Guard the garden. All right. Cursed is the ground because of you. Cursed is the ground because of you. You know why you got thorns out there? You know why you got goat heads? You know why you have rust and thistles? How many of you know what a tumbleweed is? Huh? How many of you know what a tumbleweed is? All right. That's a Russian thistle. Do you know before 1880 that America didn't have any of that in this country at all? The tumbling tumbleweed was not even here? Wasn't here. That's not native to this place.
You mean them Russian Mennonites brought it over?
You know what? There's two sources of that. They said that the sheepmen and the cattlemen out in the dry plains, you know, when tumbleweeds are little, when it's real dry in arid places, cattle will eat them for moisture. And they figured if they brought them over here, that out in these real bad places, when the tumbleweeds were little, they'd have a source of water. And then some people say when they brought the sheep over, they had some of the tumbleweed vines stuck in their wool, and it got spread. But I'm going to tell you what, there's plenty of tumbleweeds now. Anybody not have tumbleweeds trying to grow in your yard? If you live in one of these walled cities, maybe. Let's go on a little bit further. Cursed is the ground because of you. By the sweat of your nostrils, is what it literally says. By the sweat of your nose, you shall eat your bread. That's how you're going to work. Number 16. What was the ultimate curse placed upon mankind because of the original sin? Romans 5 and 12. Go to Romans 5 and 12. Romans 5 and 12. Romans 5 and verse 12. Who's got that? Romans 5. Terry?
Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men. Because all have sinned.
All right. Now, death was introduced into the human race by how many men? One. Who was it? Adam. Now, women, I've said this to you before, and this is redundant, but no child ever born in this world from a woman has sin in it. From the woman. It does not have sin from the woman. The woman does not pass the sin nature on to the child. It is the father that does that. And through the Father, all have sinned. And because we're all children of a Father, what are we? What's it say then in Romans 5 and 12? Read that again. Are you still up there, Terry?
Yeah. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned.
All right. Death has become to all men because all have sinned. It says also in the book of Romans, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Didn't I say that? And the book of Hebrews, it is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, what? The judgment. Now, all these are straight statements out of the Word of God. Now, why were Adam and Eve driven out of the garden? Because they would have lived forever. What was in that garden that they could have lived forever? What if they had access to it? The tree of life. Now, one of these days over there, it says in the new city that there's going to be a tree of life in there. And they'll partake of the tree of life and they'll live forever. All right. It was to keep them from living in a sinful state forever. Now, that was a gift. You know, we don't want to die. We all think about. What page are you on still?
23.
You're on 23? All right. All right, we're going to start right there on number 18 next week. Thank you for your attention. David is gone today. The other David is gone today. And Bill, are you the fall guy?
Joanne Mason.
All right. Well, now, Bill, you're supposed to be the spiritual leader in your family. Joanne, thank you for reminding him of that.